Welcome to Sunday night's main event in the middle of the week. I don't understand what's happening here, but listen, when you get a couple things that have happened today, obviously that voice right there laughing is Dan the Mouth Lavransky. I'm Jason Agnew. Many people are probably going to hear this that don't normally hear us, but we are the guys that used to host The Law Live Audio Wrestling. We now host a show called Sunday Night's Main Event, available at patreon.com/SNME Radio. And if you're in Canada, we are on TSN Radio. Those, thank you for finding us. And Mouth, we're talking in the middle of the week because AEW continually gives us excuses.
Yes.
Great, great, big excuses
yes.
to talk about them.
Yeah, this was absolutely amazing news breaking today about the big show signing with AEW. It really kind of came out of nowhere. It was a super surprise to me. Big Show always struck me as a guy that would be WWE until the very end. I never even entertained the idea of him doing anything else with the rest of his career with another promotion. So this really, really is big news.
Well, let's not get carried away, because if you remember, Mouth, there was a time many years ago where Big Show parted ways with WWE, and he went and did some stuff in Memphis Wrestling in 2007, and there was an interview that he did at that time where someone called him Big Show, and he said, I don't answer to that anymore. That's my slave name. Do you remember this?
Oh, yes, that's right. The infamous slave name
that's
line.
Right.
Yes. That's right.
You know, what I'm looking at here with this Big Show thing, and actually, before we get into it, AEW has issued a press release on this, and let me call it up here and read some of it to you. So, it says, as 2021 shapes up to be the year for AEW's biggest shows yet, today the promotion announced that wrestling legend Paul White signed a long-term deal, adding yet another universally regarded name to AEW's roster of stars, legends, and upcoming talent. White will have an extensive role within AEW, and on top of his return to the ring, he will serve as a commentator on AEW's newest show, AEW Dark Elevation. Now, this complementing AEW Dark on Tuesdays, AEW Dark Elevation will air on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern on AEW's YouTube channel. And they go on to talk about the show and promote the show. But what is key in here to me, Mouth, is it does say, on top of his return to the ring, and all I know is that Shaq has involvement with the promotion.
Yep.
And Cody has a shoulder injury.
Yep.
And March 7th, if it can't be Cody, AEW will get on every single mainstream sports media if Big Show and Shaq stand nose to nose.
Absolutely. In fact, if I was doing this, because look at how much of a surprise it is to the wrestling world just as an announcement today, I would have held off. I would have held off until that actual match on March the 3rd, and I would have set up something where it ends up with Big Show coming out to save Cody. And then he has ended up in that program, and Cody in that is out of there, and we get rid of the women altogether, and we just have Shaq and Big Show. Because to me, that's a much more appealing match, and that will get way more eyes on it than Cody versus Shaq. Because I remember there was even talk of Shaq and Big Show back in the WWE.
That's why I'm saying this. Of course there was. And if you look, because a lot of people have said, well, why bother? Why bother signing Big Show, Tony Khan? Like, what is your interest here? What's your MO? If Tony Khan is able to put together Shaq versus Big Show, then it looks to the mainstream media that he was able to do something that Vince McMahon was not.
Right.
Good.
I'm sure, honestly, any talk with Big Show and the fact that they're doing stuff with Shaq already, I'm sure this has already been thoroughly discussed.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's the direction they're going to go into outside of putting him on commentary, because I think he'll be good on commentary. He's quick on his feet and stuff like that. But this idea of him with Shaq, I mean, I'm not crazy about the Cody thing, but this, at least, I think I'm more intrigued by this than I am with Shaq and Cody. And again, the impact from regular media will be, you know, way, way bigger than if it was Cody. So it works all around. And a major coup for Tony Khan.
Yeah, Big Show is also just a genuinely nice human being.
Yeah.
Yep. And as they continue to pay very careful attention to who is in that locker room and how much they're buying into what AEW is doing, Big Show's a good dude. Like, just flat out, just like a great guy. I've had the chance to chat with him a couple times and just seen the way that he acts in, you know, in the world, his public persona. And right. I do believe that it's not just his public persona, but his private side. Like, I just think that this guy is a great guy to have in the locker room as well. So I think that overall, both on camera and behind the scenes, if used properly, of course, this is just a big positive for AEW. Do you think they come up with another name for him out, or is he just going to be Paul White?
That's a good question. I would think that honestly, well, whatever they do, it's going to have White's approval this time. Obviously, they're not going to give him a name he doesn't like. So, honestly, I have no problem with Paul White.
Yeah, I think they just go with that at this point. He's known as that.
I don't know, Paul the Giant White, or is that too Andre?
Well, you know, he was called the Giant in WCW originally,
that's right? Yeah, well,
right.
They tried to push he was Andre's son in WCW.
Okay, well, let's, you're right, you're right.
I don't want to go that far. But, I mean, Paul the Giant White is not too bad.
Not bad.
I don't know.
All right, so listen, I mean, that was obviously some news that broke today, but a lot of you have found this particular conversation because you are here for the interview that is about to happen. It was just yesterday that AEW sent out a note that Lance Archer was available for interviews, and I said, yes, please, I would love to chat with Lance Archer. And then I sent out a note to you and all of our hosts at Sunday Night's Main Event, and you wrote me several paragraphs in return of what I should be asking this guy. So I said, you know what, Levansky, why don't you just do this?
Yeah.
I think that you've got a better grasp on this. And because obviously Lance Archer, someone who spent so much time and really recreated himself by going to Japan after his Impact Wrestling days.
Yeah, exactly. And like he said in the interview himself, the way he built himself up in New Japan was truly amazing. And he worked really, really hard, you know, getting in this Minoru Suzuki's faction and then having the tag team with him for a long time and then having the Killer Elite squad with Davey Boy Smith. He was a big name star. So that's why I wondered if it was a real hard decision to go to AEW, because he was doing really well in New Japan.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that interview now, and it's Dan Levransky and Lance Archer. Along with that, we have a really great interview with FTR, and that one is going to go up uncut and unedited on our Patreon feed. I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to unlock it for everyone so you can sample this interview, but that is available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. I'm putting the uncut, unedited up today, so check it out. It is the best interview I think that we have done within the 3 years that we have been doing this show. Dax and Cash are awesome in it. Super honest, super genuine, and very engaged in the interview as well. So check that out. It is available right now. If you like this one coming up, check it out at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So subscribe to the feed, get that, check it out. And then along with that, here it is. You, Dan Levransky, and the Murder Hawk Monster, which we find out about that name in this interview, Lance Archer.
All right. Hello, everyone. Dan the Mouth Levransky here for Sunday Night's Main Event. And today I have a really special guest I get to talk to. This guy has been involved in the world of professional wrestling for more than 20 years. He's worked all over the world. WWE, TNA, NOAH, New Japan. Now, though, you can see him every week in AEW on AEW Dynamite, here in Canada on TSN. And on tonight's show, he takes on Rey Fénix, which should be a stellar match. I'm looking forward to that. Also, the next AEW pay-per-view is Revolution. I'm really stoked to sit down and talk with Lance Archer. Lance, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. You guys doing all right?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Now, before we get into...
I'm glad you guys took your weather back. Texas wasn't ready for it.
Now, you know what? The funny part is, Lance, the weather up here has been, like, beautiful this whole time. It's been going crazy in Texas. We've hardly had any snow at all up here.
Wow. Yeah, it was here for about a week, and it's been gone. It's been, like, in the 70s here in Texas the last few days.
Are you one of the ones that were affected by like the power outages and the boiling water and all that stuff?
No, we got very lucky. Never lost power at the house. Never had to deal with the water issue. My dad lost water for a couple of days, but got it back. You know, my family was all very well blessed in this whole situation, but a lot of people were not.
Yeah, definitely. It was a tough situation for sure. So much to cover here. And this news just broke a couple of hours ago, but I have to ask you about this as a big man yourself. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Big Show. Paul White is now part of AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually on another interview when the news broke, like in the middle of it. I was like, wait, what? What are we talking about? So, yeah, I mean, pretty crazy times considering, you know, that's one I don't think anybody saw coming in any way, you know. He adds to the company in a way that, you know, we've got some big dudes, but we don't have a Paul White size dude. Now, I don't know what full capacity is going to be, whether it's going to be wrestling. I heard it might be more on a commentary side. I don't know, but, you know, I've got a bone to pick with him from my time about 12 years ago. So, and I'm not the same dude. So I'd like to step in the ring with the little guy and see what we can do.
I think that's a match a lot of people would like to see. That is for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see how he is used by AEW. And like you said, I think a surprise to a lot of people.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Now, I also wanted to, before we get into everything you've done, because you've had a great year in AEW, I have to say, but I have to ask you how you're doing, how you're feeling. You know, you had the brush with COVID-19 that took you out for a while. You've looked amazing since you came back. So just how was that experience for you and that whole thing? Because it's got to be kind of scary, I would think.
I mean, I have a very different opinion on it in comparison. For me, it was like an annoying head cold. So, I mean, and other than that, I've been great. You know, I didn't even believe I had it until I lost smell. And then I was like, oh, I guess I do. And, I never had any kind of major cough. I never had any, severe fever. I never had any issues. I stayed home and did my due diligence, but I stayed home at I trained, I worked out and did cardio and have a small gym here. And you know, it never really slowed me down other than, you know, not being able to smell my food for about a week and a half.
Right. So it didn't hit you as hard as it could have.
I don't think it was, because I'm a fairly healthy 43-year-old dude with no pre-existing health conditions. I don't think I had ever anything to worry about.
Right on, right on. That's good to hear. So yeah, let's talk about some of your time in AEW, because this isn't like this week almost the 1 year anniversary of when you joined the promotion. It was end of February last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, I actually signed on with the company at the beginning of February, but you know, my debut wasn't until about mid March.
Right, right.
Yep. But yeah, almost a year today.
So how did it come about? How were you approached? Tony Khan approach you? Did the Box Kenny? How were you brought into this?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that were kicked around. 2019 was a really good year for me with New Japan. It was a kind of a breakout year.
Sure.
I've been with New Japan since late 2011, mid 2011. And then most of my time in New Japan was in a tag team with Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Right. Or Harry Smith.
The Killer Elite Squad. We kicked ass for many years in Japan, you know, three-time IWGP Tag Team Champions, two-time NOAH GHC Tag Team Champions, two-time NWA World Tag Team Champions. So we were a pretty dang dominant tag team. But then, you know, the business changed, life changed, things changed, and Smith left the company, and I kind of was there, and I got an opportunity to be in the G1 tournament in 2019. Which wasn't supposed to originally happen. And then they decided to go ahead and put me in the tournament. And that was kind of a real big turning point for me within New Japan and the business professional wrestling. I had my initial match with Will Ospreay in Dallas, Texas. It was the first time the G1 had ever been outside of Japan.
Right.
And it was one of those eye-opening matches, you know, because Will was and still is considered one of the best in the business. Just with his abilities. And then I was able to go in there and show the world exactly what I could do. You know, I think everybody always believed I was a solid wrestler, but they didn't believe that I could work to that level, to that 2019 at the time, 2020, 2021 style of wrestling. So I think that opened up a lot of eyes, opened up a lot of doors. You know, AEW was just starting out. You know, they started TV in October of 2019, you know, and it was one of those things. It was kind of that perfect storm of moments. Initially, an idea was brought to me about a part-time situation with AEW. But then it quickly turned into, hey, we just want you here full time, man. And, you know, then as the business goes, a little bit of negotiation back and forth, but then ultimately decided that AEW was the place to be for me and the business and everything moving forward. And I believe I made the absolute right best decision.
Was it a tough one, though? Because like you said, you were doing really great in New Japan and AEW. I mean, still a relatively new company.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it absolutely was a tough decision. It wasn't like something I just went, oh, yep, I'm doing that. You know, I mean, I had a great history with New Japan, great friendships, people that I'd become more or less family with. You know, they were a little bit of backstory. You know, I've worked with New Japan for 8.5 years. And of that 8.5 years, I never had a actual contract. It was a very old school Japanese style where you came in and you worked a tour, you signed a contract for that tour. And then once that tour was over, you know, both parties were in essence free of each other, you know, but I had a good relationship. So I was working. It wasn't like they didn't want to use me. It was just, that's how they used to do business. And that's how they were doing business with me. It wasn't anything personal. And, you know, and as the business was growing and, you know, they'd lost guys like Shinsuke and AJ and Anderson and Gallows and stuff, they started signing some of their guys in, their foreigners, to full-time contracts. But I was just a guy that we had a good relationship. It was that good old school handshake relationship. And that's just how it continued for the longest time. And literally about the exact same time that AEW came into the picture, they decided to offer me a full-time contract. And, you know, it was one of those things where it was a tough decision. It wasn't just a, okay, yeah, for sure, I'm coming. You know, there was a lot of pros and cons weighing the goods and bads of the whole situation. But like I said, ultimately just the pros outweighed the cons to become a part of AEW. You know, it was a new company, but the mark it had already made in the very, very short period of time was, you know, something it was undeniable. You know, with TV coming into play, with TNT and everything, it was a situation where you couldn't look at AEW and say, well, they're only doing pay-per-views and they're only doing this. They were a player in the business and they were changing the business, you know, with signing guys like Kenny Omega who left New Japan and things like that, and several other talents, the best friends and things like that. And the signing of the guys and girls, you know, across the board that were becoming the stars of the independent scene and so on and so forth, and guys leaving Ring of Honor. So, you know, they were a player in the business in a way that this business hadn't seen since really WCW. You know, all respect to TNA because I was there for 5 years, but on the financial side and the ability to give guys a chance to really do something good for themselves, their families, and the business had not existed since WCW days. And that's what AEW was offering. And that's just talking about a financial side. I'm not talking about the influence that AEW was creating, the buzz that AEW was creating, the changing of the business that AEW was doing. You know, all these things were positives. And like I said, these were all pros that helped me make that decision to go, yeah, this is the place I want to be. This is the place I need to be. And this is the opportunity for me to show the world who I knew I was, and they needed to discover very quickly.
Nice, nice. Now, how did the association with Jake Roberts come about? Was this something they planned from the very beginning with you specifically, or was it just something that kind of happened?
I think it was kind of a combined effort. You know, we talked about it. And again, because I've been in Japan for nearly a decade at this point, it's not that the hardcore wrestling fans didn't know me, but, you know, there's a general fan base, you know, American fan base that were now watching AEW that, you know, they weren't big New Japan fans. So their reference to me would have been, you know, 10, 12 plus years ago, you know, talking about the signing of Paul White. You know, people have been posting a picture of him and me and him putting me in a submission hold. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That was 12 years ago. I'm not that same dude, you know, but that's the reference people had. So taking an icon like Jake the Snake Roberts and putting him with me now brought attention to me in a way that, like I said, for the average fan, for the people, the old school fan that knew who Jake the Snake Roberts is and was, now they're going, well, we know Jake. We know who he is and who he was. We know the icon that he is, the legend he is. Now, this Lance Archer guy, okay, who's he? What is he about? You know, he's got to be something important if he's with Jake. And I think that was kind of the idea behind it, was taking somebody that the American audience, the world audience knew very well, and Jake the Snake Roberts, and then putting him with me, somebody that the hardcore wrestling fans knew because if they were watching New Japan, but now to introduce me back to the world through the association with Jake the Snake Roberts.
And as you said, we all know about Jake's long career. Did he kind of give you any kind of advice? Has he been helping you out a little bit in this new role?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the biggest influences that Jake has had on me, you know, I'd like to believe that I'm still learning. I'm always learning. I'm always adapting. But I believe that I've kind of figured out how to present the Murderhawk monster to the world in the ring. I know how to do that very well. And that was something that, again, not that he or anybody else can't or isn't helping me, because I'm always receiving help in that aspect to help advance myself and adapt into 2021 wrestling. But Jake's influence, his biggest influence on me, has been the ability to get on a microphone and cut a promo in a way that, you know, the Murderhawk monster in the ring is very chaotic. He's very savage. He's very intense. But on the microphone, that intensity is brought to a head through a very calm and cool demeanor, you know, very poetic, dangerously poetic version of the Murderhawk monster. And it adds a cool dynamic. And a lot of that influence in doing it that way in that style has come directly from Jake.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you say that, Lance, because I kind of noticed that, because when you first came in, Jake was doing most of the promo work. And then gradually, as you moved along, he started to stop and you started to pick it up.
Yeah, now, you know, it's a good combination of him and I working together. He's still Jake. You can't take that away, and I wouldn't want that to be taken away. but I have to find my own voice. And I think, like I said, Jake has helped me tremendously in that. You know, I've cut a bunch of AEW dark promos, in essence, to kind of find that footing for when it's time to do that on Dynamite. And I think he's helped me out tremendously there.
Now, the last little while, we've actually seen Jake involved physically. We've seen him do some of his classic short arm clotheslines. Mm-hmm. But when he's in there and he's doing stuff like that, are you watching him out the corner of your eye? Are you somewhat protective of him? Because let's face it, he's no spring chicken, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, I'm always protective, but you know, a lot of times when he chooses to do that, I'm usually in a position that I couldn't really do a whole lot to help him. He's trying to help me. And like I said, you know, that match that I had, you know, it was Mox and I against Kenta and Kenny. You know, he got interjected and he threw the short arm clothesline to Carl Anderson. And then he got quickly, you know, uppercutted by a gallows. You know, it was one of those things, like I was in a compromised position, to say the least. So it wasn't a situation where I wasn't being protective or whatnot. I just couldn't be protective at that very moment. He chose to help me, which I'm greatly appreciative of, but you know, you're a competitor. He's a fighter still, even at his age and everything. So, you know, he's choosing to put himself in those positions. So I can only do so much if he chooses to do it at a time when I can't help him.
The other thing I wanted to ask about, I thought was really great when they were establishing your character, was you would run out and you would just pummel some guy in the back, or you would bring him out with you and throw him in the ring. I was just curious where that came from. Was that something from you? Did you come up with that?
That's if you were a hardcore New Japan fan, you'd know that I've been doing that for quite some time.
Okay.
That was a situation where, you know, we in New Japan, we had a plethora of young lions, young boys,
Chinese, right? Yeah.
That were always around the ring. And so they were catching the brunt of that. You know, at one point in Japan, prior to even doing that, I would come out with 6-7 water bottles and I would throw and spit water at the audience, to the point where people were making signs and holding up their children and loving it. As the world turns, that was taken away from me. So I started attacking the young lions near ringside, every single one of them, every single night when I came out. Coming into the U.S., we don't have any young lions near the ring. So right. I had to find victims. And that was either somebody backstage that drug out the tunnel with me, or it was somebody that was near the ring and was an unfortunate recipient of a strong forearm to the jaw.
Now, I want to talk about some of the stuff you've done in AEW, because, I mean, you were in the TNT title tournament final against Cody. Mm-hmm. You won the Casino Battle Royal for the title mm-hmm. shot. You had your match with Moxley. You're feuding mm-hmm. with Eddie Kingston. I mean, in just a year, you really have done a lot of amazing things in the promotion. Are you surprised by how much has happened in just a year?
No, not at all. I mean, I didn't make the choice to come to AEW to just be a backstage player. I came to be a main event player, you know, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Like I said, you know, my path to the TNT title came to an end when Cody bested me, you know, and like I said, I did win the Casino Battle Royal, but ultimately there was a little bit of setback leading up to the match with Moxley. And then Moxley got lucky and pinned my shoulders. You know, it is what it is. We're fighters, we're warriors. It happens. You know, Eddie and I've gone back and forth. He's gotten me once, I've gotten him once, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. That's a fight that may last forever. Who knows? but it's one of those things, like, you know, and now for the last, you know, 3 weeks, including tonight, you know, I've been a part of the main event of AEW Dynamite, like I said, and my goal was always to be in this position and point. So am I surprised? No. Do I have bigger dreams to accomplish more? Absolutely. And I'm going to continue to push forward and, you know, get either my plan right now is, because my position is, you know, if I beat Ray tonight, is to go on and become the TNT champion. And then I'd gladly be a double champion in AEW's first double champion. If that would be nice.
One of the great things about AEW that they're doing right now is this working with other groups. They have a deal with Impact. It looks like the door has been opened to New Japan. We saw Kenta, as you mentioned, in the match with you last week. Obviously, as someone that is a veteran of, you know, both New Japan and Noah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on them opening this door with Japan to have this kind of interpromotional stuff.
I think it's awesome. I think it's one of those things. Okay, so you've got a business that is dealing with a world situation. You know, prior to the world being shut down to the degree it's been shut down and whatnot, and as things move forward, hopefully that opens up even more. But, you know, the business was at an extremely cool boom, from the independent market to the companies that have been in existence, like the Ring of Honors and the Impacts and so on and so forth. You know, WWE had signed their crazy big contracts, TV contracts and whatnot. So the business was booming in a way that it hadn't. And now you've got AEW, who bursts onto the scene in a way that, again, I don't think anybody knew or expected was going to happen, and was changing the game with each and every time they ran a show and when TV started and everything that was going on. So now you have All Elite Wrestling as the major player in the business to change things in a big way. And then the world goes into the situation that it's in. So now, you know, the independent wrestling market is slowed down and almost shut down in many markets. New Japan, which was a company that was starting to become a world branded company. I mean, I did a New Japan USA tour right before I started with AEW in January 2020. And, you know, they had plans on doing a lot more of that. And then that stopped because of the world. So now you have an opportunity with, like I said, Impact coming in. And I have a history there from back in 2009. New Japan, you know, Kenta showing up. I think for the fans and for the wrestlers and for everybody involved that's watching this, it creates a buzz that had kind of died off because the world had slowed down. Yeah. Now, like I said, you never know who's going to show up, you know, from Impact. The possibilities of guys coming in from Japan, you know, when the world opens up and we can, I guarantee you'll see some of our guys show up and start challenging cats in New Japan. So it's one of those things that just makes it a lot of fun for every single person that's watching. And you have all these dream matchups that you can think about, possibilities. You know, I mean, heck, who knows, you know, that Kazu Ninai from Minoru Suzuki might pop up on the screen in AEW. Suzuki Goon, you know, run rampant on everybody in AEW. You never know. I'm not a part of any group, but I've always been a Suzuki Goon Ichiban forever, brother. So you never know if and when that might happen. So
you're making me salivate over here. Don't tease me like that, Lance. That's not nice.
That's what makes it fun. That answers your own question. That's the tease. That's the fun. That's what makes people go, ooh, what if, you know? So
absolutely. Although I hope with anything with Impact, I hope you don't get subjected to, what was it, the rock and roll injection, or what were you guys called?
The rock and rave infection, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I had fun with that.
That's the thing I've noticed. Even though you were saddled with that, you and Christy Hemme, it looked like we're trying to have as much fun as you could.
Me, Christy, and Jimmy Ray were having fun. even though, you know, it wasn't the most dominant. The
ideal situation, yeah. We're going to have to wrap things up, I think, here shortly, but I have to ask. I have to ask about Minoru Suzuki. Okay. He's one of my all-time favorite guys. You've worked with him for so long. I'm just curious, like, what's he like outside the ring? Like, what's it like having a drink with Minoru Suzuki in a bar? Because he's just comes across as such a madman in the ring, right?
Yeah, for sure. Suzuki's one of those guys, like, so he's extremely loyal in the fact that if you're one of his guys, he will fight tooth and nail for you. But you don't want to test him either. You know, it's one of those things, like, he's a very good human being, but he's also very protective of himself and the people around him. So if you test him, and you shouldn't be, you know, and he's going to make you pay for that. You know, I've seen him in situations where people decided they thought they were going to test Minoru Suzuki in a way that wasn't very smart and ended up getting a black eye for it, you know, and that's just par for the course of messing with the Minoru Suzuki, the murder grandpa. But like I said, as far as his loyalty to, you know, his guys and, you know, his group and his crew, second to none there. You know, there's so many times that he's taken care of me when we were on the road, whether it be, you know, we'd be in the middle of nowhere, Japan, you know, Tokyo and Osaka and bigger cities, you know, it's a little easier to get around. It's a little easier, you know, as a gaijin to kind of navigate and do your own thing. Sure. If you need. But when you hit some of these small towns in Japan that are just very old school Japanese and very traditional, and, you know, you go to a restaurant and, you know, there are no pictures so that you can point at the food and the people don't speak any form of English, you know, it can be pretty difficult. And Suzuki, especially in those situations, was always real good at making sure that me and Smith or Benjamin, when we were on the road with him, you know, if that we were ever in those towns, in those situations, that he took us with him and he would take care of us and make sure we were fed and make sure that we had a good time and had some drinks with us and we had some laughs and whatnot. So he's that kind of human being that he's going to make sure that you're taken care of, but you definitely don't want to test him.
That sounds like good advice for sure. I don't want any of that joint manipulation finger stuff that he does. That's for sure.
It's not going to be manipulated. It's going to be broken. That's what it's
about. Absolutely. That would be amazing if we could see him in AEW. Perhaps even, like you said, a reunion of Suzuki-gun would be pretty, pretty amazing.
Right, for sure.
Hey, all right.
Never say never in wrestling.
Yeah, well, that's it. Especially with this sort of situation now, you really can't say never because with open doors like this, almost anything could happen.
Yep, and it has been happening. So just keep your eyes open, everybody.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lance, for sitting down and spending some time with us tonight and continued success in AEW. We've all been enjoying watching you. Oh, one final thing. Who came up with the name Murder Hawk Monster? Was that you?
Yeah. It was kind of a morphing of things. A quick short story. When I was included into the G1 in 2019, I carried an image pretty much my entire time in New Japan. So I decided I was going to try to change up everything I could in a positive way. And one of them was my image. So I completely changed my hairstyle and everything. And it wasn't the braided version. It was more of a poofed up, crazy looking version. You know, it was kind of a mohawk, but you know, I wasn't just rocking a mohawk. I'm a monster. So it's a murder hawk. So that's why I kind of called it the murder hawk. And then I'm the monster. So the murder hawk monster. And, you know, now it's kind of taken on its own thing and, you know, figuring out the mythical creature that is the murder hawk monster. So it's not just in reference to the hair. It kind of started there, but it's kind of morphed into the whole idea of what is a murder hawk monster. It's a mythical creature you don't want to mess with.
All right. I think we'll leave it right there. All right. Thanks again, Lance, for sitting down and talking to us. And yeah, continued success in AEW.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Big thanks, as we said there, to Lance Archer for hanging out with Dan Lavransky. And my thanks to Dan Lavransky for answering the call and getting to chat with Lance there and to the AEW promo team. You guys are fantastic hooking us up with these interviews. So once again, that one you've heard, but if you want to check out the FTR interview that we have up as well, check it out right now on the Patreon feed at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Go right there. You can click and listen. And along with that, we will chat with you on Sunday as we do each and every week on Sunday night's main event. Subscribe at snmeradio.com. And as Billy Red Lions used to say, don't you dare miss it.